Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck. High above.
Well, that's Heineken Brooklyn Bridge there.
Pier 17. Sun coming up in New York City.
Bridge, yeah.
It's a great backdrop.
It is a great backdrop. Yeah, just
beautiful. Absolutely.
Cold as hell out there right now.
A little bit.
Yeah, don't like it.
A little cold.
It's been cold for a long time now.
How about the LA guy saying it's a little cold?
No, it's a little cold compared to a month and a half ago.
Fair.
A month and a half, 2 months ago, it was a different deal. Now it's better. A little clear skies. It's a little better.
Don't have to get out there and defrost the car.
No, the ice on the windshield. It's starting to feel a little bit better now. Not saying that LA isn't in my foresight, but I'm just saying. Putting it out there.
Couldn't wear chucks and no socks in that weather this winter, could you?
No, you couldn't. And a buddy of mine is in Palm Springs right now, and he just told me he was in Palm Springs. You know, like, oh, I'm in Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. Well, really? 75 degrees, clear skies, and you playing golf. I don't play golf, but I know what it is.
Right. Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Feeling good right now. Look, we've had a lot of snow. There's no doubt about that. But it still is cold, but it doesn't matter because we're in March, and that's good news because we have March Madness.
Let's go!
And we've got, of course, NFL free agency coming up, a lot of NFL news, and a big news yesterday, clearly Drew Brees retiring on the same day 15 years ago that he signed with the Saints. And as we talk about now, where do the Saints go from here? We talk about the teams, the Saints being one of the teams that was on the list for one Russell Wilson. Although he doesn't want to be traded, but if you're going to trade me, here are some teams I'd like to go to. So the Saints being one of them. Another, of course, was the Dallas Cowboys. Well, they're not looking for a quarterback anymore. But still, it is funny to me that, and I know, Key, you brought this up. They had a quarterback. You knew they were going to sign that quarterback, and yet you put the Cowboys on your list, and you felt like that was an awkward thing for Russell Wilson and his agent to do.
Yeah, I don't know when I said it, but it was a couple weeks ago, whenever it came out. Whenever Russell Wilson put the list out of Chicago Bears, Oakland Raiders. By the way, Mike Mayock came out and said that Derek Carr is our quarterback. We love him, blah, blah, blah.
Did he say for now?
It doesn't matter.
Didn't add that part?
The fact that he said it, and I don't know if he said for now. I don't know if he said for now. He may have.
Did he say he's the Oakland quarterback? We need one in Vegas, though.
Oh, did I say
he's the Oakland quarterback?
Oh, okay. But, so when you look at it, though, Alan, I know people said Dak wasn't under contract, but let's be real with ourselves.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys all along was going to do the deal. Whether he was under contract or they franchised him, he was a quarterback. Mm. So I take a problem with that. I had a problem with it because Russell Wilson is openly trying to go get a job that somebody else already has at the same position. It's different at a receiver. Hey, I would love to go join the Atlanta Falcons with Julio Jones. I would love to go join the New Orleans Saints with Michael Thomas. There's 3-4 receivers, possibly 5 on the field at one time. At quarterback, there's one quarterback. You sure aren't going to Dallas to be the damn backup. So that's why I had a problem with it. And I certainly believe, and I know the league well enough to know, that there's going to be guys within the league that are going to look at Russell Wilson differently because you're messing with somebody's money at that point. You don't deal with others' money. You, even though Dak got it paid, you don't inject yourself in the Dallas Cowboys conversation because at that point, you may have just gave the Dallas Cowboys leverage to negotiate against Dak Prescott in the contract.
Like, we have options.
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
You don't do that. You don't do it. But, you know, what am I? I'm just an outsider. What the hell do I know?
Well, all right, you're an outsider. You're saying that, but your point is well taken. In fact, an insider in this whole thing is Todd France, who's Dak's agent. And he had this to say on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio about Cowboys being on Russell's list.
Dak and I actually never spoke about it.
We
talked to him about. Yeah, we didn't even address it. And in my mind, I don't even really want to address it myself. There's so many things wrong with it, I guess, on different levels. But you know, the player, the agent can say whatever they want to say, and hopefully it works out for them with whatever they want to try to accomplish. But I guess Dallas is now crossed off that list.
Yeah, I would say after $126 million, it is definitely a team that is not available Should Russell Wilson maybe put out a new list?
Put out whatever list you want. I don't really see another feasible landing spot for Russell other than Chicago. I don't. Mm-hmm. Just going back to Key's point very quickly, I have no problem with Russ saying, hey, here are my four teams I would like to go to. And I understand that could cause issues for Dak, but I don't think that's going to affect Dak's money. Dak's going to get his money regardless. It's with Dallas Cowboys or somebody else.
He got the money. That's not the point, though, Jay. The point is –
but why am I worried about your problems? I'm worried about my problems over here. I'm not trying to take money out of your pocket. I'm trying to get out of a situation that I don't feel like I got the respect.
There is a certain, as they like to say in sports, certain codes. That is a code, though, to not – inject yourself in somebody else's business. Yeah. That's the way I see it.
How am I injecting myself in Dallas's business by making myself available?
But Jay, they got a quarterback that is their franchise guy.
A guy that they haven't been able to come to terms with for multiple years
they
now.
They were not about to let him walk out the building.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
Stop, Jay.
No,
everybody that watched this.
That's fine.
You almost made me curse. But everybody that watches this. In saying this, seeing this, and following this, certainly knew that he was either going to be the long-term quarterback or a short-term franchise quarterback. Anybody watching that could tell you the Dak deal is going to eventually get done. When is it going to get done? We don't know whether it was a franchise tag for $37 million or the $126 guaranteed that they gave him. My whole point is when you step out, like Russell Wilson did, and Todd France, the agent, certainly said you could cross that off. He didn't want to elaborate on it, I'm sure, or go into it any deeper, but he certainly had some thoughts and feelings, as he said. You're now using or could potentially be letting the Dallas Cowboys use that against Dak in the negotiations. That's my only point. He certainly can say, I want to go to any team he chooses. He could name all 32 damn teams. I don't care. But when you got a starting quarterback in a negotiation, you just don't do that.
That's what I was going to say, is let's present it this way. Why even have a list? Because every team currently has a quarterback, and all you're doing is Bigfooting the guy that's there. You're basically saying, well, I'm better than that guy, so they'd rather have me. I'd like to go here, here, and here. I know you're a great quarterback. I know you've won a Super Bowl, but you might want to dial down. You're out of 10. I need you out of 7 when it comes to ego. Of course, a lot of teams want you, but why even have a list? There's no reason to have a list. If you want to trade me, we have a list of preferred teams. We'll keep that private, but we don't need to make that. Like, the agent's the one that told Shefty the list. There was no reason to have a list.
I understand that, but you're getting the list from the player. And the agent.
Well, I understand, but why would for the agent to put it out there? If I'm the player, again, you guys are the pros, all right? But I know for me, if my agent did that,
I would
tell him, what are you doing?
But my agent.
Well, you could tell he was already down this path because he hasn't said a word about anything.
I don't think the agent is experienced in football as he may be in baseball. I think Russell Wilson's his only football client. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different in terms of how you move in the circles of football versus baseball.
Right.
So I think he might have been using a baseball tactic in football, which probably isn't going to get him very far in terms of doing that. But if he names teams, Allen, right, I don't have a problem with it. But don't go naming teams that got a quarterback that essentially is under contract long-term, or negotiating. Go name the Washington football team, or go name the New York Jets, or go name somebody that like that. Don't go messing with somebody's
money. I hear what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying,
because this is where basketball and football are so different, because I can say I want to go be a part of the Los Angeles Lakers, not saying I'm going to take LeBron James' spot in the middle of his negotiation. You can play together, whereas with the quarterback spot, it's one-on-one.
One dude.
I hear what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying. One dude.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Trust me, we did the math. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. So the field is set for now. Brackets will be busted. Usually does happen. So
not mine.
No, you don't think so?
Probably in the
first
day. We
will find out. But can the Zags run the table? Big question. We'll talk with Seth Greenberg coming up next about that. But right now, let me get this right. Key has this from DraftKings.
Boom.
Yes, that is right.
Nailed it.
It's a 60-seconder, so let me see if I can get it.
Yeah.
As we like to breathe a little bit there, Jay. The tournament is finally here. The brackets have been set, and the teams are ready to hit the court. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating with their latest free college basketball survivor pool ever. How large? $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. And if that's not enough, when you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survivor pool, you could get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. It's easy to play. Just pick one team per day. If they win, you survive and advance to the next round. Last person standing is the winner. Remember, you can only pick a team once for the entire tournament, so choose wisely. DraftKings is a safe and secure app. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Get it in now, all this week's action. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter the code KJZ during sign-up and enter a free $1 million survivor pool. Again, that's the code KJZ to enter into DraftKings $1 million survivor pool. Eligibility restrictions and terms, conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I like the Zags' chances, man. I like them big time.
What they're trying to do, they're seeking immortality.
To have this incredible run, heck, to be, you know, on March 14th undefeated is crazy.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Alan Hahn in for Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Woo!
And we are pleased to bring in Seth Greenberg, brought to you by Wendy's.
Notorious B-E-R-G.
Proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. We had to bring a second Long Island guy into this show, which is why Seth has to be here.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, you guys don't know this?
No.
That you from Long Island?
Yeah, I'm from Long Island.
Strong Island.
Come on now. Strong Island. We're not just Long Island. We're Strong Island. Not as tough as Plainfield, New Jersey, but we're pretty tough.
Well, that's very tough, Seth. Let's talk about what's not tough. What number one seed had the best draw?
What number one seed? I think Baylor had the best draw. I look at Baylor, and I look at the draw. First of all, if you look at their second round game, North Carolina's been up and down. They don't take care of the basketball. That's going to be struggle against the pressure of Baylor. Or Wisconsin. Wisconsin played poorly at the end of the season. Villanova, Winthrop. Villanova's going to play without Colin Gillespie. So, boom, that automatically advances him to the Elite Eight. And then even on the bottom of that thing, Arkansas, love what Buss has done. I love the pace that they play with. But I think that Baylor matches up again. A perimeter-oriented team. Moses Moody is terrific for Arkansas. But, and the but is that, it's not just, you know, Jared Butler. It's a whole Maceo Teague. It's Davion Mitchell. I think they wear out Arkansas on the other side. The one team that bothers me or scares me a little bit on that side is Purdue. Because Trevion Williams is absolutely low. He's the best passing big in the country. But I think that that Baylor has a really good run until they get to Ohio State. And I think they get by Ohio State. But Ohio State will be their toughest competition. Ohio State is multi-positional. Great versatility. E.J. Liddell is an absolute brutal matchup. Dwayne Washington can really shoot the three, and Chris Altman's a terrific coach. But, again, another team they match up well because they don't have that dominant inside scorer. And Liddell's more of like a 4-5.
Mm-hmm. All right, Seth, let's go to the East because which team do you think has the worst draw? I'll probably have to go with Michigan just for the fact they're playing without Isaiah Livers. They're a different team. I still think they'll get by the first round. Maybe LSU in that second round will be tough. But which team has the worst draw as number one seed?
That's why we are connected at the hip, J. Will, because I agree with you. I think it's Michigan. You look at that half of the draw. You've got three league champion, playoff champions, conference tournament champions. You've got Texas, who's really hard to play against. You're talking about a Texas team with great length. Jericho Sims is playing at a high level. As long as their guards take care of the basketball, they turn over about 20% of their possessions. But Texas is tough. Alabama, the speed they play with, how they come at you and they shoot the three. And by the way, Alabama's an elite defensive team that can dig in and guard the basketball and disrupt defensively. And then you got Georgetown. And this was vintage Georgetown in those four wins. This was John Thompson. This was Patrick Ewing pay homage to John Thompson. This was discipline. This was defense. This was rebounding. This was toughness. So you got three conference champions, actually a fourth if you include St. Bonaventure. And then, you know, Isaiah Livers, like, you can replace potentially Isaiah Livers. And understand, Chauncey Brown's not Isaiah Livers, but he's a really good player. He played in the ACC, transferred over. He's a slashing jump shooter. Yep. That's great. But who replaces Chauncey Brown? And that's what people don't understand. When you lose a good player, all right, your sixth man, if you move him into that spot, who takes that sixth man spot? That energizer buddy, the guy that comes off the bench that changes the identity of your team or the energy of your team. So I think Michigan's got a tough road. I really do. And then you throw Florida State on that side. Florida State defensively can suffocate you with their length. So I think that's by far the toughest bracket.
Coach, how much faith should I have or we should have in the number one seed in Gonzaga? You know, they've been perennial heartbreakers in the past.
Yeah, you'd have great faith. I mean, you know, the one thing is that you know, if you have a physical front court, how will Timmy deal with that? Like, when Shibue and Culber were at West Virginia, for a half, they really kind of pounded on him. When BYU was aggressive with him in the front court the other day in the West Coast Conference, they kind of pounded on him. Now, your squad, Fight On, you know, who knows? I mean, see, Fight On's got a good little draw because they got the winner of Wichita Drake. Then they got Kansas, but we don't even know who Kansas is going to be because you got to remember now, they're in a pause. They're in a pause. Who knows when they're going to get to Indianapolis? We do know that David McCormick won't get there at best till Thursday. So depending on the, you know, when that game is played, you're talking about 14 feet of front court player with the Mobley brothers. And Evan Mobley's like almost a unicorn. I mean, he is really special. They take care of the ball, SC. They protect the rim. Drew Peterson and Taj Eady give him some jump shooting. SC is an interesting team if you want to go outside the box. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the SC-Iowa game would be really interesting because you'd have the length of SC against, obviously, Luka Garza in the passing and jump shooting of Iowa. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst here on KJZ. And what about the variable that we have this year and when it comes to COVID? The good news is they're playing. They're in a bubble. But as you mentioned, you still aren't sure. Teams have to get there. You've had some teams already, a couple of teams you mentioned, Kansas, who have already an issue of a couple of players. They've got to test positive. They got to be allowed in. But at any moment, you could suddenly have a matchup that you're preparing for that no longer is that matchup. You could also have a situation where a team suddenly has an easier path because a team that might have been caused them trouble suddenly doesn't have a couple of key players to play in. So, you know, on top of the usual matchups that we always like to talk about, what about the variable that's in this as well?
Well, here's the thing. We said all along, there's three P's. We got to have patience because things are going to happen. We got to have multiple plans, which the plan is in place. Once the tournament starts, if you test out, you're out. And then you got to have protocol. The protocol is there to protect the players. So, yeah, I mean, the biggest variable is Virginia. Virginia supposedly is not going to get there until Friday. So I'm trying to figure out, scratch my head a little bit, not much to scratch up top there, but I'm trying to figure out if they get there Friday and they've got a quarantine for a day, how are they playing Saturday? Mm-hmm. But, you know, Virginia has multiple players that have had the virus or are in quarantine. So they're not practicing. So the biggest variable is you've got a number four seed, all right, that basically is not able to practice with their complete team. And they're not arriving, allegedly, until Friday. Yeah. So I think that's one thing that you've really got to look at. That bracket, like the West bracket, if you think about it, you got two teams that are coming off pause. You got two teams with they're the Riddler. They're a big question mark because we don't know who's going to play, who's not going to play, who had the virus, who had a contact trace, who practiced, who didn't practice. I think that's really interesting when we look at this thing.
It's going to make me hesitate or at least wait to the last minute to fill out my bracket, no doubt about that. Seth, let me also ask you about Rick Pitino and Iona.
What, are you messing with the bracket back there? What are you doing with all the papers,
He's already tearing it up.
What are you doing?
You know, I've got stuff going on.
You're always doing something. Me. Always taking notes or something.
Jay Will, you know I got notes.
I know I got them yesterday from you. Very thankful, by the way. Very thankful.
But about Rick Pitino and Iona and taking Tim Clewis's program and getting it to the NCAA tournament right away, what do you make of Pitino's impact immediately in New Rochelle?
Well, he inherited a really good basketball program. You know, let's understand that. I mean, Coach Kloos did a great job. It is a great tradition at Iona. Going back to Jimmy Valvano, obviously, he did a great job. Timmy Walsh did a great job. But look, Rick is Rick. He's going to win. That's just the way it is. He's going to win. He's going to figure out a way to win. He's going to attract players. He's going to get them to play hard. He's going to get them to play unselfishly. He's going to get them to make you react to them. And this is a different Rick Pitino team. They turn the thing over like 24 times. I would love to be in those film sessions when he goes over and he sees some of those turnovers. Because as we know, Rick is a tad bit demonstrative.
A little bit.
All right? So, I mean, here's what's going to happen. Some guy's going to make a turnover and Rick's going to yell at an assistant coach. That's just the way it is. Because he doesn't want to deal with the player, so he yells at the assistant coach. So poor Tom Abbott-DeMarco is probably getting killed on every turnover. But Rick is one of the greatest coaches in the history of our game. He's one of the greatest motivators in the history of our game. You put a great coach and a great teacher and a guy that can really develop players, all right, and combine that with a great motivator, and goodness gracious, I mean, that's what he does. He wins games. Now, look, he's got a tough game ahead of him. I mean, this is not exactly a walk in the park. He understands that, but you never put anything by him. I mean, five different teams to the NCAA tournament. Five different teams. It's incredible. And a Greek championship.
No Kentucky, no Duke, Coach. What will this be like now, this tournament?
I mean, there's 68 teams that are in the way in, Key. Come on, man. I mean, look, I understand there's no Kentucky, no Duke. And by the way, I want to make this perfectly clear. I don't know why we were talking about Duke yesterday and the day before. Like, you earn your way into the NCAA tournament. I mean, all of a sudden, their season's over. They're done, and then the next day, well, you know, we consider if we, like, here's the deal. I hope that Fairleigh Dickinson got into the tournament, but their resume wasn't good enough. They didn't win our conference championship. But, like, no Kentucky, no Indiana, all right, no Duke. That's the way it is. I mean, like, going to the NCAA tournament's not a rite of passage. Now, do I think that will happen again next year? No, I don't. I think Duke and Kentucky will be as competitive as any teams in the country. It's just the world we live in. Those two teams got hit the hardest, in my opinion, because the virus with young teams, when you didn't have practice time in the summer, when you didn't have exhibition games, when you didn't have the things you need to do to bring a team along quickly, they were well behind. And then they lost confidence. And then Kentucky had some injuries. Duke shut themselves down. There was a lot of stuff going on, but they're not going anywhere. They'll be back next year. But I think we have a great tournament.
Seth,
we've got teams that have earned their way into the tournament.
I just want you to know that the last time Duke and Kentucky didn't make the tournament, you know this, 1976, and guess what undefeated team finished the deal that
Indiana.
Year? We could potentially see the same with Gonzaga.
Put your money down on the Zags.
How about you with the nugget? How about you with the big nugget right there, Jay?
That's incredible.
Full there blown. It is, Alan.
Coach, we
not
appreciate
a morsel.
You. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, SC.
All right, Seth Greenberg.
Man, we in the tournament and y'all not.
Wow. Well, all right.
It's a long year for me. I have a long off season dealing with Keyshawn.
Don't get mad at me because Duke not in it.
No, Evan Mobley's a beast though. He's the truth.
Cool. He's
the truth.
No, he's straight.
He'll be all right.
Now you referenced Stats Incredible. You want to finish the job?
No, that was a setup for you. That was
brought to you by My Computer
rim.
Career, Whoa. Training for a better life. So that was just, that was the you? That was that?
Yeah, I couldn't see the whole read on the screen, so I live up to my PG.
I like that. No, that's good. That's good. I'll take care of that hoop, no doubt about that. As we continue to talk basketball, let's transition a little bit into the NBA, as there was some news as well. Ooh. In the NBA. I know Keyshawn can't wait to talk some hoops right now.
Oh, no,
NBA.
I'm good. Lakers,
up.
What else? Nets, Lakers, what else?
Yeah,
Philly?
We will
talk about
Philly. No,
Golden
look,
State.
A favorite for the MVP, someone that I said in the first half of the season was definitely the lead candidate for the MVP.
Mm-mm.
Now we're concerned if he's going to be able to finish the season as such. We'll explain after SportsCenter. I'm Alan Hahn, by the way.
Ooh,
with you.
I like that voice.
Sports Center update.
I go a little, what is that, Kiss After Dark?
Yeah, right.
It's incredible.
Right, this is ESPN After Dark. Or Before Dark. Before Dawn. Whatever it is, I can't see outside right now. Let's get to it. Quarterback Drew Brees retires after 20 years in the NFL. He used his children to help make the announcement. It was adorable, and it looked like this.
After 15 years in the Saints and 20 years in the NFL,
our dad is finally going to retire.
So we can spend more time with us.
All that was missing was Drew then walking into the picture, cleaning some dishes. He retires as the all-time leader in several major categories, including passing yards, completions, completion percentage. He and head coach Sean Payton arrived in New Orleans together in 2006. They won 144 games, including playoffs. Only Brady and Belichick have more wins among coach-quarterback duos in the Super Bowl era. College basketball, we have Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, Michigan, all top seeds in the NCAA tournament. The top seeds have a combined one prior NCAA tournament title. That would be the 89 Michigan team. According to Elias, it's the fewest by the combined number one seeds since 1980, when number one seeds UConn, Michigan State, Oklahoma, and UNLV also had one prior championship. That would be Michigan State in 79. Black history always. On this date, 20 years ago, 15-seed Hampton, a historically black university in Virginia, defeated 2-seed Iowa State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. At the time, that was the fourth instance of a 15-seed beating a 2-seed in the NCAA tournament. Four more teams have done it since. Hampton was a 17.5-point underdog against Iowa State. That was tied for the fifth biggest upset victory in the NCAA tournament over the last 35 years. Who will be the upset this year? There's always one. SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Spend your tax return wisely. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune in to Straight Talk. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Alan Hahn in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You can play against Key J and Z on ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Sign up at ESPN.com/bracket or download the Tournament Challenge app and search KJZ, or if you want, Barton Hahn. By the way, check it out. We have just hit the milestone on the brackets. Over 3 million and counting already. Try to contain your excitement, fellas. I understand.
I said it was a little bit anticlimactic yesterday. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get excited for it. Maybe I need to see the games. Get me to the games. Because I feel like this is always the week where we learn about all the storylines and we hear about the one seeds. And let's be honest about it. It's been a lot going on this year. So there's a lot for people to catch up on as it relates to who these teams are. Just got to get me to the games.
I think that's the bigger part of it. You know, as you mentioned, with no Kentucky, no Duke, there's like, you know, the blue blood aspect is always a big part of it because that's where your biggest draw is.
No this Louisville, is like, no Indiana.
This is like no Alabama, no Ohio State, you know, in the BCS.
There's
it's
the
like,
USC, though.
You like okay, that, okay, you? Okay,
well,
we
but,
know.
But still, the point is, though, is there is a lot of get to know you that happens in the first weekend of the tournament as it is. But there's also something about having a packed house, having the crowd, having students, having just the excitement that in a bubble.
But you get to know teams after they start winning.
That's right. This is the
like,
get to know
it's
you
like
weekend.
Now everybody leads up to the first game. It's like, oh, I want to know who Iona is. Or you might hear, okay, does Rick Pitino coach there, kind of, I guess?
Right.
But not until they win a game or they get to the next weekend, you start to understand the true stories behind me. Like Sister Jean, right? For Loyola. I mean, it's like you start to learn about that stuff as they make their run, and then you start to actually love those squads.
Yeah. No, it is true. And every single year, as you know, Jay, have covered basketball, played in basketball in college, and won a national championship, there's going to be one or two teams that pop somebody out of nowhere that you really not – you know, it's almost like, for me, Gonzaga, right? Being out on the West Coast and understanding that program, and you, every single year, it's like, oh, it's their time. Oh, my God, they're going to be – and then – it's like, well, yeah, what happened?
Yeah, there's the UMBCs, the Loyolas, the Hamptons. Like, there's those moments that happen in the tournament that all of a sudden flip it. And then, of course, the COVID aspect that we've talked about. But I see what Keyshawn's doing. He's trying to stall so we run out of time and not talk NBA.
Oh, never that. I'm an NBA guy, man.
My MVP.
He's a Lakers guy.
I joke about.
Yeah, you're not an NBA guy. You're a Lakers guy. That's a big difference.
What?
No, let's be honest.
Look, Key's like, what's the difference?
Why can't I be an NBA guy? The Lakers are the NBA. Like, seriously.
Are they?
Think about it.
They are the NBA.
When the Lakers were down for that, what were we down? Like 6 years.
It was 6 years.
That 6 year, I was about to say, about that 6 year time, the NBA was garbage, man. Other than Golden State.
I don't know if it was garbage.
Other than Golden State.
See, this
other
is
than
where
Golden State, it was garbage.
I can't.
We're going to have blast through this break.
It was garbage. It was garbage.
You're right. Garbage.
Golden State Warriors.
Golden State Warriors. You guys were garbage.
Nobody cared.
Great teams in the history of the game transformed the game.
Maybe
other,
even the
other than Golden State.
Other than Golden State. But the rest of the league was trash.
The rest of the league was trash, man.
See, this is why it's every night.
The rest of the league was
every
trash.
Every day. This is why I deal with Alan.
It's the Lakers or bust.
He'll come in. They'll be like great. There'll be like 10 great games on there, and he'll be like, God.
Can I? Is this what a Yankee fan looks like from the outside? Is this like cause I'm a Yankees? Is this what a Yankees fan looks like from the outside? Where it's like if the Yankees aren't in the World Series, it didn't really happen.
Yes,
I don't know because we won last year. So
for
I don't know.
6 years, the NBA was garbage.
I doubled up last year. This past season, I doubled up. I had a
no. No, you are insufferable right now between the Dodgers and the Lakers.
Yeah,
now USC's in the tournament.
Yeah, long year for me. Now Evan Mobley, they're going to get to the Sweet 16. I'm like, I can't. I can't.
Now we only have about 90 seconds to talk about it. I looked at Joel Embiid this year, Jay, and I saw a player that might have finally, and I hate to put it this way because it just sounds patronizing, but maybe he finally got it because he put it all together. All the criticisms that ever were about his game where he flops too much, he doesn't take it serious, he doesn't show up at a big moment, you're not really in the best of shape, constantly taking time off, can't stay healthy. He became everything for the Sixers with Doc Rivers and obviously getting Al Horford out of there. And all of that was happening for him this year. And then the knee buckles. Ugh. I've had two ACLs. When I watch that injury, I can't watch it without getting sick to my stomach. Yet, see? That looked like Sean.
Ow!
You remember Sean Livingston?
Yes.
I thought that's what happened to him. It's amazing that there was no structural damage. It's a bone bruise. Out 2 weeks. But to play the rest of the season with that, can he hold up the MVP lead?
What is it, though, Jay? Is it because his lower body is so big? And,
yes.
And is that the reason these sort of things happen to guys like that?
I mean, what is Joel Embiid, Allen? 270?
Yeah. Yeah, about 280.
But I'm just talking about his lower body. Depending on his lower body is crazy for big.
You know, I was texting, this is last week, one of our producers, Allen, and, you know, we always rap on text chain. And I was just like, I'm gonna tell you guys what he said. He's like, man, we got the worst luck in Philly. He was like, if it's the Howie Roseman back in the broom closet office, if it's AI getting his hair braided by his mom at the game, if it's Sam Hinkie and that whole debacle and Colangelo on the burner account, if it's Big Jahlil Okafor's dad and how he wanted to literally right behind the bench for Brett Brown, cursing him out, saying he wants to fight one of the guys, and then getting caught for the speeding ticket on the highway going to $120.
Another word other than fight.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
And the Fultz injury, that happens, and now Carson Wentz. And like it's like I'm watching it. And that's – Alan, this has always been one thing. I'm like, hey, look, Joel Embiid is a beast. He's a beast. I picked Philly 2 years ago because I thought they were going to be it. I got – loomed into this whole thing about Ben Simmons and summer shooting, and I started to believe in it from his, you know, the little things he posted on social media.
I'll never believe the summer workout
videos.
I
know, they caught me. They caught me, Key. But I always said this about Joel Embiid.
They caught me, Key.
I tell you, look, man, he's putting up numbers. I just don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know if it's sustainable due to because he has a huge history of being injury prone.
Yeah.
I always worry about that with him. Can he put up astronomical numbers? Yes. He's one of the best to ever do it at that position. But I just don't know if he can complete full seasons.
Yeah, if you go all the way back to 2014 from the foot injury to where we are today, I mean, he's had a lot of issues in between. But, you know, it's just, so to speak, it's just bad luck. I think there's still I think if he's healthy, there's still a viable team, a very good team. You know, yes, a bone bruise is tough to come back from and be yourself if you had time that you had to be on the sideline. But I think when you think about it, you know, this is an opportunity with a different coach now in Glenn Rivers, who knows how to continue to keep a guy motivated, because this year alone, he was in the MVP conversation early on.
But, Siki, what are we saying the same thing about Philly that we say about San Francisco? Oh, if Jimmy G were just healthy, if Joel Embiid were just healthy, I'm not saying they're in the same category, but you know what I mean about you're always questioning their health due to injuries that they have. It's one of the things that looms over Philly.
He just has a streak of bad luck at times. That's all.
At times, it's been pretty much his whole career.
That's
my concern with him because what I feel bad about is it's he finally like if one thing if it's just another season like in the past where he wasn't in great shape, he was finally putting it together. And it's hopefully, yeah, right. Hopefully that's all it is, and he's fine. Maybe it was a blessing. Maybe it was. We'll see.
That didn't look good, though.
Getting back to the NFL, as we talk about Russell Wilson and, you know, obviously the Cowboys, now you could scratch them off the list. What are the Saints going to do? Or maybe it's just the Chicago Bears. Maybe that's all the option is for not just the Bears, but maybe the best option for Russell Wilson. So we'll discuss that with Dan Orlovsky. But first, Jay has this from Cintas.
Yes, Alan. Today, people expect a new level of clean. Cintas provides a wide range of essential products and services to help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Cintas will keep you well-stocked with essential supplies like face masks, hand sanitizers, gloves, thermometers. Cintas will hygienically clean and deliver your uniforms. That's nice. Cintas also helps you protect employees and customers with first aid and safety supplies and fire protection services. Cintas helps you open your doors with confidence every day. Learn how Cintas can help keep your business clean and safe at Cintas.com. Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Drew Brees' retirement could force the Saints into making moves at the quarterback spot. Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mm. Good morning. Right, there you go.
Good morning.
See, now you're feeling
Chicago.
Good.
Chicago!
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, Alan Hahn in for Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We say good morning to Dan Orlovsky, ESPN football analyst, who appears on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear. That works. Celebrating
Danny-o.
March
What's up,
deal days.
What's up?
Pardon me.
What's up?
Well, yeah.
I just need to finish this.
What's
part.
Up?
What's up?
With month-long service and savings, visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Children.
Dan looking mighty clean today.
Dude, Alan, what's up, man? I've never met you, but welcome to my immaturity.
Yeah, no, please. I spend most of my day with Bart Scott, so you know already that whatever you're doing immaturity-wise, we double down.
Good deal.
All right. But you know what? I was tipped off of a trade that you have in mind that I feel like when people are listening to a show and I say trade proposal, everybody leans towards the radio. Wait, what? And it involves the Jets, so of course everybody in New York gets excited. It involves the Bears, so everybody in Chicago gets excited.
Yeah.
So let's hear this three-team trade proposal that you have, and then we can kick it around and see if we like it.
Yeah, so how do the Bears get Russell Wilson? And they've got to stop, and we have to all stop thinking it's just the Bears and the Seattle Seahawks involved. It's got to kind of be – it takes three to tango. And if I was the Bears, I got a desperate need at the most important position, right? So I call – I don't have the ability to replace Russell Wilson. So I call the New York Jets, and I'll go, okay, if we send you Khalil Mack and Kyle Fuller, two great defensive players, and our first-round pick for this year, will we then be able to send you those three guys? And then you take – the New York Jets take Sam Darnold, your 23rd pick this year, so you keep the second pick, your two first-rounders next year, and send them to Seattle, and then Seattle sends Chicago Russell Wilson.
Mm.
So, like, it's almost NBA-like, right, Jay? And so we've got to stop thinking, like, how do the Bears do it and only including those two teams? They've got to get creative, and they've got to get courageous. And so I think, like, finding three teams to be a part of it is the best way for the Bears to pull it off.
Daniel, I said this the other day, and I feel like it kind of got poo-pooed on the show because it did sound like an NBA trade. And, you know, even I know Key's going through all the math now in his head because it does sound like a lot. But
how you know what I'm doing?
Because I work with you every damn day. I know what you're thinking half the time. And I was like, I don't know exactly all the numbers, the way Danny O positioned it. It sounds like that could be a feasible scenario, right?
That's a lot to give up for, I don't want to call him aging quarterback, but moving Russell Wilson from Seattle to Chicago, and you're giving away the strength, right, Dan? You're giving away the strength of Chicago on the defensive side of the ball. So, that's a lot. I get it, but it's a lot to give away to get a guy when you, first of all, you don't know what the deal is at the receiver position with Allen Robinson. Now, yes, you franchise tag him. But now you're giving away that defense. And if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm not really trying to go mess with Matt Nagy, even though I said it publicly through my agent.
Yeah, so here's my pushback on that. Chicago, you've had a great defense for like 30 years. You know, like, it's been awesome for like 30 years. It hasn't gotten you your Super Bowl title. So this at least gives you the chance to finally get your quarterback. Second of all, I don't think Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle strictly because my offensive line doesn't block well. I think he wants out of Seattle for a lot of different reasons, and one of them being he wants to go to a major city. Yeah. He wants to go to a more glamorous city where he's going to be nationally appreciated for his performance. And listen, if you're Seattle, I do think there's truth. I do think there's validity to saying, you know what, we want a different energy. Pete Carroll's energy is remarkable. His personality is remarkable. It's got to be him leading our train and not kind of the him and Russell Wilson, both those guys, and who's trying to be the most impactful person. And I just think there's a lot of moving parts that make sense for all the organization. The Jets get way better very quickly and also keep the second pick. That's a big part of this as well, keeping the second pick. Chicago gets what they want, the quarterback. The Jets get what they want, a lot better and still have a quarterback. And Seattle gets something that they can sit there and justify going, all right, the value is at least equal, if not greater than. You're talking about getting a young quarterback, Sam Darnold. Some people think he's good. Some people think he's terrible. You get a young quarterback and three ones. There's a lot of reason for Seattle to sit back and go, okay, is this worth us making this move?
Now that Drew Brees, Dan, has decided to finally hang him up and bronze those cleats, what's next at the quarterback spot outside of Jameis Winston for the Saints?
I don't think it is outside Jameis, Key. Like, I think they got to hope that Jameis doesn't hit free agency because, you know, there's probably going to be a greater financial market for Jameis Winston. And so, supposedly, last year, he took less money to go to New Orleans. Is Jameis willing to do the same thing this year? So, you start there. Hopefully, don't allow him to hit free agency. Two, if he does hit free agency and decides to move on, then I think the two best options are going to be trading for Sam Darnold or hoping Mac Jones falls to you. Because, like, Keith, here's the situation for New Orleans. They got a Super Bowl caliber football team, right? Not good, not we think good, Super Bowl caliber. They've got to find a quarterback that is good enough to lead them on a Super Bowl type of run that's cheap because of their cap situation. Those guys don't exist. Those guys just, they don't exist in the NFL. So that's why they've got to hope that Jameis is willing to, one, miss out on hitting free agency, and two, if he does, sit there and go, you know what, I'm going to take less to be the starter in New Orleans for at least one season.
Daniel, I got 20 seconds for you real quick. Cam Newton and the New England Patriots, does it work for next year or does it not work?
It works because I think the Patriots are going to be the least dependent on their quarterback play football team in the NFL. I think they're going to take football 20, 25 years back and just pound the rock, play great defense, and really good special teams.
Dan, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Daniel.
All right, by the way, coming up, involved in the conversation with the Saints and Drew Brees retiring, Sean Payton will join Greeny at 10:15 Eastern time. But coming up, what should the Jets do when it comes to Sam Darnold and the quarterback position? We'll discuss next.